Holding on Samachvov Amud Beis, the first line of the widest lines, so six lines from the bottom. So the Gemara says, Ashkechon Tomud Pesach Dedochu Shabbos. Now we found yesterday with the whole discussion between Hillel and Bnei Beseira that the Korban Pesach is Doicha Shabbos, that the Korban Tomud and the Korban Pesach are Doicha Shabbos. Both of them you shecht and you do the avoidus of them on Shabbos, even though those are Malachas Daraisa. What we said in the Mishnah was Rabbi Akiva had said that anything that could have been done before Shabbos or anything that's not directly related to the Korban itself is not Doicha Shabbos. So that's as far as Shabbos. Dedochu Tumah Menolon. Where do we know that these korbanos are doicha tumah, which is, we're going to learn in the next perek, exactly that the korban tumah and the korban pesach are both brought, even if the tzibur is tumah, even if the tzibur is tahor and the koyanim are tumah. In the case of the korban pesach, not only we bring it betumah, but we even eat it betumah. So Rashi says, this connects with the previous discussion, given that we started by saying that on the face of it, we should assume that the Korban Pesach is brought even on Shabbos because it says B'moyadoi, but we said in that case, Hillel wouldn't have needed a Gzeira Shava for that because it says B'moyadoi equally by the Talmud and by the Pesach, and we're saying he needed a Gzeira Shava. So the word B'moyadoi in and of itself doesn't mean it has to be brought on that day. We needed the Gzeira Shava. So now, where do we know that the same thing applies, that they're both brought B'tumah? So the answer is Amri. So they answered Ki heichad yalaf Pesach b'tomid le'inyan Shabbos. Just as we said, we learned the Pesach from the Tomid as far as Shabbos. That we said since by the Tomid it says al oilas a Tomid v'niska, that you bring the Musaf of Shabbos in addition to the Korban Tomid, meaning that the Korban Tomid is brought on Shabbos. The same way, and then we learned the Korban Pesach from it via Gzeira Shava. Hachinami Yalaf Tomid Pesach Le'inyan Tumah. The same thing. What we do is we use the Gzeira Shava the other way around. Also, we say we establish that the Korban Pesach can be brought b'tumah, as the Gemara is going to work out now. And once we do that, then we learn the Tomid from that with the Gzeira Shava that's also brought b'tumah. Okay, or Pesach Gufa Minolan. So where do we know the Pesach itself is brought b'tumah? Again, whether the tzibur is b'tumah, whether the tzibur is tameh, whether the koyanim are tameh, etc. By the way, Rashi points out that for this purpose, the Korban Pesach is, even though the Korban Pesach is brought individually by each person, it has for this purpose the status of a Korban Sibur because it's brought collectively by all the Jewish people at one time. So even though it's each individual person is bringing the Korban Pesach, unlike most Korbanos Sibur, where you have one Korban or several animals, whatever, brought together on behalf of the Sibur, here it's each person's for themselves and their family. Nevertheless, it's still considered a Korban Sibur. So where do we know that that's Doicha Tumah? Because the pasuk says ish ish ki yi atamei lanefesh. The pasuk says about Pesach Sheni, any person, if he's tamei by a dead body, from which we learn ish nidchel Pesach Sheni, only an individual ish, an individual person, is pushed off to Pesach Sheni, and he can't bring Pesach Rishon. The ain't sibur nidchel the Pesach Sheni. So the implication is that sibur, meaning the Jewish people collectively, are not pushed off to Pesach Sheni, Ella Avdi B'tumah. Rather, what they can do is they can bring the Korban Pesach B'tumah. Omer le'Rav Shimon Lakish le'Rav Yechonon. But Rish Lakish says to Rav Yechonon, does that really work? How can you douse in that way? Eba. Excuse me. Ema, maybe what you should say is it means ish nidchel Pesach Sheni. Maybe it means that, yeah, if an individual was Tomei on Pesach Rishon, then they bring Pesach Sheni. Maybe what it means is not that the Tzibur isn't pushed off to Pesach Sheni to begin with, but rather they bring Pesach Rishon. Maybe the Pesach is implying Tzibur less lo utakanta, loy be Pesach Rishon, loy be Pesach Sheni. Maybe it's implying that the tzibur, there's nothing they can do. They can't bring it Pesach Rishon because they're Tomei. They're not pushed off to Pesach Sheni because it says Ish. So therefore, they have nothing. Not you. They don't bring a Korban Pesach. Maybe that's what the pasuk means. And in fact, we're going to have later on in the eighth perek of Amasechta, we're going to have the eighth and ninth perek, whatever. We're going to have examples where in fact a person does not bring, where for various reasons a person doesn't bring either Pesach, isn't eligible for Pesach Rishon or Pesach Sheni. So Rish Lakish says same thing over here. Maybe that's what the pasuk is implying. Where do you see that it means that they're eligible for Pesach Rishon and they can bring it b'tumah? Ela Amar Rav Shimon Lakish Mehocha. So rather, Rav Shimon Lakish says we can learn it from the following pasuk. The pasuk says about that the tmeim have to leave the machne, which we're going to start discussing soon, which machnos, which tmeim have to leave. The pasuk says generically, v'yishalchu min ha-machne, they should send out from the machne, kol tsarua, everybody who has tsaras, v'chol zov, and everybody who is a zov, v'chol tomei l'nofesh, and everybody who is tomei by a dead body. Now, Rish Lakish says, if we assume, now let's assume to start with that the machna that we're talking about over here is machna shechina, which means in the times when they were in the desert, it means the whole chotzer of the Mishkan, and in later times when the Beis Mikdash was built, it means the whole Ezras Yisrael and Ezras Kohenim, the whole that whole area. So now of these tmeim, we should figure which ones are more lenient tumah and which ones are more severe. Now, it's logical to assume that a tumah mess, in a certain sense, is less severe than the tumah and the mitzvah. So we're going to get into that detail later. But right now, Rish Lakish is assuming that the tumah mess is less severe because, after all, how did he become tumah? From something outside of himself, as opposed to the zav or the mitzvah. It's called tumah yotza le'en migufan. The tumah came out of their own body, and in a way, that's much more severe. That a person becomes tumah from something that came out of their own body is a much more serious thing than a person touched or was in contact with something that's outside of them. So therefore, Rish Lakish argues, Yoimer Tmeya Mesim. So let the Pasuk just say Tmeya Mes, Va'al Yoimer Zovin and Mitzarayim. It shouldn't mention the Zovim and the Mitzarayim at all, Vani Omer, and we would be able to make a Kavachomer and say that the Zovim and the Mitzarayim have to be sent away, Vani Omer, and we would make a Kavachomer. Im Tmei Mesim Mishtauchen, if even the Tmei Mes, which are only Tomei because of something external to them, and they still have to be sent out of Machna Shechina, Zovim and Mitzarayim Lekoshkin, how much more so the Zovim and the Mitzarayim have to be sent away. So why does the Pasuk have to mention the Zovim and the Mitzarayim separately? Ella, so rather, Rish Lakish says, the Pasuk is implying to you, Yesh lecha shah shezovim and Mitzarayim mishtauchin. There is a time when the Zovim and the Mitzarayim do have to be sent out of the Azara, but the Ein Tmeim Mesim mishtauchin, but the Tmeim Mes do not need to be sent out. They're actually allowed to come in. The Ezer, what time would that be? Where usually a Tmeim Mes is not allowed to go into the Azara. It has to be Zeh Pesach Habah B'Tumah. It has to be when the Korban Pesach is being brought B'Tumah, namely that most of the Tzibur is Tamei Mes. So then we say we make the Pesach B'Tumah and we allow the people who are bringing the Korban Pesach to actually come into the Azara with their Korbanos to Shecht and to prepare, even though their Tamei Mes and usually a Tamei Mes is not allowed in the Azara. So that and the Pasuk is implying that even at that time, the Zovim and the Mitzarayim can't come in. But the implication is there is a time when the Tmeim Es can come in, and that would be necessarily when the Korban Pesach is being brought. Amar Abaya, but Abaya says, how does that work? How does that limud work? Ihochi, if you're going to say that, after all, the Pasuk mentions all three. It mentions the Mitzora and the Zov and the Tomei Mes. So Ihochi Leimanami, you could argue the same way as Rish Lakish is arguing that it didn't have to say the Zov and the Mitzora. It could have just said the Tomei Mes, and we would have learned the other ones by a Kavachomer. By the same logic, you could say Yoma Zov or Tmei Mesim. It could have just said the Zov and the Tomei Mes and not mention the Mitzora, the Al Yoma Mitzora, not mention the Mitzora because the Mitzora is more stringent than the Zov, as we're going to talk about later and show how a Mitzora is more stringent than the Zov. And again, you could argue the same logic. Zov mishtaleach mitzora lekol shekein. That means that you would say if the zov has to be sent out, how much more so the mitzora has to be sent out. Ella, so if you would continue that way, you would argue it means yesh lachashah shemitzoroin mishtauchin ve'in zovin atmei mesim mishtauchin. You would argue then that what does that mean? So there's a time when only the mitzoroim have to be sent out. The zovim and the tmei mesim do not need to be sent out. The ezez a pesach abba b'tumah, and that would be a case when the pesach is brought b'tumah. In other words, are you saying by your own logic, Rish Lakish? You're saying that it means that the Pesach is brought even when the people are Tomei Mes, and then the Tmei Mesim are allowed to come into the Azara, and the Zovim and the Mitzorayim are kept out. But by the same logic, you could also parse the Pasuk to be saying that there's a time when the Tmei Mesim and the Zovim are allowed to come in, and only the Mitzorah is not. V'chi tema hochinam. You know, you're going to say, okay, yeah, when the Pesach is brought to Tumah, maybe the Zovim can come in. No, v'hotinan. We learn later on in our Masechta, in the ninth parak, Pesach haba b'tumah, when the Pesach is being brought to Tumah, lo yoch l'menu Zovim v'zovis nidus v'yoldus. Nevertheless, the Zovim and Zovis and Nidus and women who gave birth are still not allowed to eat from it, because again, all of them have that chumrah, that tumah yotza alein migufan, that all of them, the tumah came out of their own body, so they're not allowed to eat from it. The only ones who are going to be allowed to eat from it are the ones who are tumah mes and tumah from other similar tumas of touching things. But okay, vim ochlu p'tur, and if they eat from it, then fine, and they're potter because it was brought b'tumah. But nevertheless, we still see that the heter to bring and eat the korban pesach b'tumah only applies to a tamei lanefesh. So we don't say that the zov is allowed to come into the azora at that point. We're only saying b'dieved, if he ate from the korban pesach, then he's potter, but not that he's allowed to lachtchila. And now, how would we get that distinction and say that only the tmei mes are allowed and not the zovim and the zovis? Obviously, it has to be based on the pasuk that we quoted, that Rabbi Yochanan quoted, ish ish ki yit tamei lanefesh. So we can't use Rish Lakish. So Abaye say we can't use Rish Lakish's drasha. If we were going to use Rish Lakish's drasha, then in fact it would work for a zav as well. Ela Amar Abaye said no. Abaye says la olam mikra kama. The answer is that no, we do actually learn it from the original pasuk that Rabbi Yochanan quoted. Ish ish ki yia tamei lanefesh. That from there we learn that the tmei mes can bring the korban pesach if most of the tzibur is tamei. Rabbi Yochanan's diuk is correct, that it means that only the individual is pushed off to Pesach Sheni, the tzibur is not. But you were wondering in that case, then how do we know that doesn't apply? How do we know that it means that the tzibur is able to bring Barishin at all? Or maybe it means that they can't even bring on the Rishin, which was Rish Lakish's question. So no, Abaye says, if that's what the Pesach meant, Im Kain, then the pasuk could have just said, if any person is tamei. And then if it said tamei, it means all different kinds of tumah. And we would always say, then the rule is the yochid gets pesach sheni, the tzibur can't do anything at all. So now when it mentions lanefesh lamali, why does it add the word lanefesh, which means that we're talking only about tmei mes? So therefore it means, in other words, that we're excluding the zavim and the tzeroyim and making a chumrah on them. Now, if it was the question. So now we have to figure it like this: if what we meant was that even tumas mes, that tzibur does not bring either pesach rishon or pesach sheni, then there's no reason to mention lo nefesh at all, which implies that we're more machmir on the zov and the metzora. What's there more machmir on? If you're already saying that the tamei lanefesh, that the tzibur is tamei lanefesh, is not bringing either pesach, how much more so the Zavim and the Metzoroim? So obviously, therefore, the implication is that since it says L'Nefesh, the implication must be that the Torah is telling you when it comes to the Yochid, there's no difference. Either way, he's bringing Pesach Sheni. But then when it adds L'Nefesh, putting that together with Ish. So you thought before, Rish Lakish thought before, that meant that maybe Ish Nidcha means that Tzibur is not Nidcha and they don't make the Pesach at all. But in that case, it didn't have to say the word L'Nefesh. It could have just said Ish Ish Ki Yatame. And we would say, therefore, the rule is only the Yochid brings Pesach Sheni. The Tzibur never brings Pesach Sheni. And if they're Tame, they're not bringing Pesach Rishon either. No, therefore, the Torah puts in the word L'Nefesh to say that for the Tzibur, there's an exception when they are Tame L'Nefesh. Implying, and there's no such exception, when there's Zavim and Mitzarayim. V'chi tema, now you might think to argue the other way around, continues Abaya, that you might think to argue the other way around, hay lanefesh lahochiyu da'asa, maybe on the contrary, the word lanefesh is coming to tell us a different chumrah, ha'tomei mesu d'nidcha l'pesach sheni avashar t'mein loy, maybe you would parse the pasuk and say that it means that the tomei lanefesh is the only one, the individual, who's able to bring pesach sheni, but if somebody was tomei with some other kind of tumah on pesach rishon, then he's stuck, he can't bring pesach rishon or pesach sheni. You can't say that. The Hatanya, because we learn in a Braisa. Yochol lo yu oisim pesach sheni ela tmei mesim v'shahoya b'derech ha'choyka. You would think that only the ones who are explicitly mentioned in the Pasuk, the Tmei Mes, and the ones who are far away from the Azara, only they can bring Pesach Sheni. How do you know Zovin or Mitzarayim? How do you know the same thing applies to a Zov and to a Mitzara? Uboyale Nidus, as well as people who had relations with a Nida. Now, we know, of course, your person not allowed to have, a man's not allowed to have relations with a Nida, and he's Chayiv Kodesh if he is. But aside from that, we're not focusing on that aspect of it. We're focusing on the fact the Torah tells us if a man is Boyal Nida, then he becomes Tomei to the same degree that she does. She's an avatuma, and we're going to learn later on that even her bed or whatever becomes Tomei, it becomes an avatuma. The same thing happens. Actually, it's slightly different with the boy on Nid. Actually, his bed is only a rishon l'tuma, but whatever. As far as him himself, he's at the same level of tuma as her. So how do we know that such people also, if this happened, Pesach Rishon, that they're able to bring Pesach Sheni, Tamad Lema, Ish Ish. Therefore, the Pasuk says Ish Ish, and it says Ki Yatame, if he'll be Tame, which is Mashma, any kind of Tumah. If the Pasuk meant to limit it only to Tumas Mes, then Rashi says it would have put the word Lanefesh earlier. It would have said Ish Ish Lanefesh Ki Yatame, or something like that. Or it wouldn't have used the word Tame Lanefesh at all. It would have used a phrase like ish ish ki yigab a mess, if he touches a mess. So the fact that it didn't do that implies that we have to break up the pasuk and say as follows: ish ish ki yatame, when any individual is tame, whatever kind of tuma, then they're able to bring Pesach Sheni. Now, then, we're also, the implication of the word ish ish is that all of this only applies to a yachid. The tzibur is different. If the tzibur is la nefesh, then they actually bring Pesach Rishon. And only if they're tumah with other kinds of tumas, do we say that they don't bring Pesach Rishon or Pesach Sheni? So la nefesh to kasev rachman alamali. So why would the pasuk have to add the word la nefesh? Ela hachi kama. So that's what it means. Ish nitchal Pesach Sheni. The only an individual is pushed off to Pesach Sheni. The ein tzibur nitchal Pesach Sheni. The tzibur does not get pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Ella avdi b'tumah. They can bring the korban Pesach when they are tumah. But what kind of tumah? There you have the word lanefesh qualifying that. V'chi avdi tzibur b'tumah b'tmei mes. When do we say that the tzibur brings it b'tumah? Is only if they're tumah mes. Aval shau tumah slay avdi. Other kinds of tumas, if most of the tzibur, let's say, are zovim or boil and nidus or what have you, nevertheless, they still don't bring they don't bring Pesach Rishon. The word lanefesh tells us that the limud that you're learning from ish ish, that only individuals go to Pesach Sheni and the tzibur does not, we're qualifying that with the word lanefesh, that this only applies when the tuma was lanefesh, not other kinds of tumas. Okay. So the bottom line is, therefore, so therefore we've learned from that the Pesach is brought b'tumah if most of the tzibur is tameh or the koyanim are tameh, etc. And once we've reached that point, now we can use the gzeira shava b'maya that we discussed yesterday to say that the same thing applies to the koyanim tameh, that it's also brought even if the koyanim are tameh. Okay. So now we're going to start discussing. We mentioned before in Rish Lakish's Limud, we mentioned the concept that it says that the Tmeim have to be sent out of the Machne. Now, what we're going to discuss in the Gemara over here is different Tmeim have to be sent out of different numbers of Machnes. Now, you have like this. In the Midbar, they had three Machnes. There's Machne Shechina, which is the Mishkan and the Chotzer of it. You had Machna Leviya, which is the area around that where Moshe and Aaron and their families, and then the other three families of Levi, and then the three families of the Leviim, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari, where they camped, was around the Mishkan. That's called Machna Leviya. And then you had the area further out than that, where the other 12 Shvatim camped. That's called Machna Yisrael. In later generations, once they settled in Eretz Yisrael and once the Beis Hamikdash was built, then you had Machne Shechina is the whole Azara, the inner Azara of the Beis Hamikdash, that is, the one that includes the Heichel in the middle of it, and you have the Mizbeach in it also, and you have the Ezra's Koyanim and the Ezra's Yisrael. All of that is called the Azara, and it's also called Machne Shechina. Then you have the whole rest of the Har HaBayis is called Machne Leviya. And then the whole rest of the city of Yerushalayim, as well as any other walled city in Eretz Yisrael, is called Machne Yisrael. And the Rabbanon, by the way, you have some distinctions within the Harabayis itself. In a later time, the Rabbanon made takonis about the Chayil and about the Ezras Nashim, but here we're talking strictly on a Daraisa level. There's only three Machnas, Machna Shechina, Machna Leviya, and Machna Yisrael. So now, let's talk about the Tmeim and their Machnas. So Amar Rav Chisda, so Rav Chisda starts the discussion saying like this, Metzora, now a Metzora, we're going to learn later on, is not allowed into even Machna Yisrael. So in the Midbar, he had to stay outside of all three Machnas, and in future generations also, he had to stay outside of Yerushalayim or outside of any walled city in Eretz Yisrael. But Rav Chisda says, Metzora shenichnas lefnim mimchitzos, if a Metzora comes further in of the mechitza, of the where of the area where he's where he doesn't belong, so he comes into any walled city, Yerushalayim or any other. Nevertheless, potter, so he's potter from Malkus. Now, even though there was a lav, now in connection with that pasuk that we said, v'yishalchu min ha-machna, they should send away from the machna, or we said all the tzaruah and the zav, etc. So you also have, now you have a lav there in the psukim as well. The pasuk there continues, v'lo yitamu es machanehem, they should not make their camps tamei, so then it should be a lav, like any regular lav, and he should get Malkus for it. Nope. Shenema, because the pasuk says specifically by the Metzora, Badad Yeshev, he should sit alone, Michutz LaMachna Meshava, his place of sitting, his place of residence should be outside the Machna. So we explain, Badad Yeshev means Levada Yeshev, the word Badad means alone, so he has to sit alone over there, he's not even allowed to sit with other Tmeim. Michutz LaMachna Meshava, when it says that outside the Machna is where he has to sit, means Hakosav Nitkoy La'Esa, meaning the pasuk is saying that it's removing him from the category of the lav and putting him in the category of an eser. Meaning, Rashi explains like this. Now, usually, a lav on nitek la'eser, usually the eser comes right after the lav. Usually it comes right out. Usually it's written right after the lav. For example, an example of a lav on nitek la'eser is in connection with the Korban Pesach, where it says you're not allowed to leave from the Korban Pesach overnight, and if you do, then you have to burn the leftovers. So that's an example of a lav on nitek la'eser. Over here, it's not together because the Isser v'lo yitamu es machanehem is in Parshas Nasai, and the mitzvah saseh bodad yeshev v'chutz l'machna meshavoy is in Parshas Tazria. Nevertheless, Rashi says that if it was just to make that he's over on an esseh and a lois esseh, you already have the esseh v'yishalchom in a machna, so you don't really need an extra esseh for him. The Zavim and the Tmei Mess, you have other psukim over there that refer to them, Mizochra and the Kevet to Shalechu and Mechutz Lamachna to Shalchum. In Sifri, on that pasuk, it darshins each of those phrases that we learn from it. So therefore, Sarashi says, so now if we have an extra essay that applies only to the Metzora, then it means it's not just to add an extra essay, it's not just that if he goes into the city, he's violating a lav as well as an essay, means the pasuk is removing him from the category of the lav, and putting him in the can and making it a lav on nitek la'eser, making it a lav which is connected with an eser, and therefore that he doesn't get malchus. Rashi gives another explanation. Also, is since the pasuk continues about the metzora, kol yemei asher anega bo yitma and bodad yeshiv. The pasuk says earlier in that same pasuk, bodad yeshiv. It says as long as the tzaras is in him, then he has to stay outside the machna. So the implication is, Rashi says, that it means as long as he's a Metzora, he has this mitzvah saseh to go out of the machna. So even if he came in, he can fix that by immediately going out. So he doesn't get malchus. Instead, he just has to right away leave rather than staying inside. That's uniquely to a Metzora. Tosfos gets into a discussion of this. Tosfos doesn't like the Rashi's explanation for a couple of reasons. So instead, Tosfos brings what it means is like this. We had a general klal that all the Tmeim have to stay out of the respective machnos, where it says v'lo yitamu es machanehem. That would be a lav that applies equally to all of them, and all of them therefore should be chayav malchus for violating that. Then we have a prat by the Metzora, where it gives an esser by him. So therefore it means it's singling him out, and it's making that he's not in that general klal. He's only over on an esser, unlike the rest of them are over on a lav and an esser if they come in. So whatever the case, the point is Rav Chisda Mishnah is telling us that if the Metzora comes into the city, then he's not Chayiv Malkus. So the Achronim, I think the Sfasemas talk about a couple of possible nafkaminas between what Rashi is saying and what Tosfos is saying. It comes out according to Rashi that the lav does apply to him, but he can fix it by doing the Esser. Whereas according to Tosfos, the lav never applies to him in the first place. So one nafkamina of it would be, what if he went into the city, then he became Tohur in the city, he went through his whole Tahara process in the city, so now there's never a time when he has to go out again, because by the time he's ready to go out, he's already Tohur. According to Rashi, he'd be getting Malkus in that case, because he was over on the lav and made it impossible to fulfill the Esser. Whereas according to Tosfos, that the lav never applies to him in the first place, then maybe then he wouldn't be Chayiv Malkus either. So that's what Rav Chisda says. However, the Gemara says Esve. However, they asked a question on Rav Chisda. A Braisa says Metzora shenichnas lefnim mechitzasay ba'aboyim. That no, if a Metzora does go in beyond where he's supposed to, so he goes into the city, then he's Chayiv Malkus. And zovim bezovas shenichnasu lefnim mechitzasen ba'aboyim, also a zov or a zova who go beyond the area where they're allowed to. So a zov and a zova, as we're going to learn later on, are allowed in the city. They're allowed in Machne Yisrael, but they're not allowed in Machne Leviya. They're not allowed anywhere in the Harabais. So if they go beyond that, if they go into the Harabais, also the Braisa says ba'aboyim, then they get Malkus. On the other hand, a tomei mes is the least severe of all of those. He's allowed to go into the machna levia, meaning the whole azara until the whole harabayis until the azara. Again, midrabanan, there are areas where he's not midrabanan. He's not allowed to go into the Ezra's Nashim, but we're talking over here daraisa. So he's allowed to go into machna levia. V'loy tomei mes bovad amru ela afilu mes atzmai. As a matter of fact, this applies not only to the tomei mes is allowed to go into the machna levia, even the mes himself, even an actual dead body itself, is allowed in machna levia. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, "Vayikach this week's parasha, Vayikach Moshe as atzmos Yosef imoy." Moshe took the bones of Yosef with him, and what does imoy mean? Imoy bimchitzasay, with him in his area. Now Moshe is a Levi; he's living in Machna Levia, and we see that he had the bones of Yosef, he had the coffin of Yosef with him, right there in Machna Levia. So you see that even the mess himself is allowed to be in Machna Levia. The point is, though, this Braisa says that if the Metzora goes where he's not supposed to go, then he is Chayiv Malkus. So how can Rav Chisda say that not, that it's only, that he's only over on an Esser? The answer is Tanoihi. In fact, it's a Machlokas Tanoim. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa. When the Pasuk says Bodad Yeshev, again, when it says he should sit Bodad, the word Bodad means Levado Yeshev, means that he should sit alone. Shaloyu tmeim acherim yoshvinimai. Other tmeim, for example, zavim or tamei mes, are not allowed to sit with him, which means, therefore, that he gets sent out of more machnas than they do. And by the way, you have the idea that Rashi mentions on the pasuk, because he spoke, one reason why a person gets tzaras is because of speaking Lashon Hara. So with Lashon Hara, he caused that people get separated from each other. So therefore, the Torah separates him from everybody else and makes him live alone. So he has to sit alone without any other tmeim with him, meaning that the other tmeim are not sent out of as many machnos as he is. So that shows us, in other words, that the Metzora has a machitza of his own, has an area of his own where he's not allowed to go past. So therefore, that teaches us that he has to be outside all three machnos. Now, though, you would think, okay, so maybe all the other Tmeim, maybe the Zavim and the Tmeim Mesim both get sent to the same area. Maybe there's an equal number of Machnas that neither of them is allowed into. No, Tamad Lema V'Lay Tamos Machanehem. Therefore, the Pasuk says they should not be Matame, their camps in the plural, meaning Litin Machna Lazeo Machna Lazeo. That teaches us that each one of the ones that I mentioned in the Pasuk over there, the tsarua, the zov, and the tom and the nefesh, each one of them has a different machna that they have to stay out of. So we don't say that the tom and mes and the zov have to stay out of the same number of machnas. There's a different number of machnas for each one, and we're going to discuss soon what the exact number is and what the rules are. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's what Rabbi Yehuda says, how we learn that each of these kinds of tmeim has a machna of their own. The Metzora has his own because it says Bodod Yeshiv. The Zavim and the Tmeim Es have different ones because it says Machanehem. Reb Shimon Omer Eidet Tzorich. Reb Shimon says, I don't need to learn it from the psukim that way. I don't need to learn it from the word machanehem. We can actually learn it from the very pasuk itself. The pasuk says you should send out of the machna all the tsarua and all the zov and all the tamila nefesh. Now we can use an argument similar to what Rish Lakish used before about how many things does it need to mention in this pasuk. Yoma tmei mes val yoma tmei zov. On the face of it could have only said the ones who are tamei mes. It didn't have to mention the zovim at all because a zov is more stringent than a tamei mes, as we're going to discuss soon. Vani Omer, and then we would have realized on our own Tmei Mes and Mishtauchen Zovin like Olshakin. If even the Tmei Mes have to be sent out of Machne, how much more so the Zov? Lama Nemer Zov. So why does it mention the Zov? Litten like Machne Shnia. Automatically, by itself, that teaches us that the reason is because the Zov has a second Machne that he needs to stay out of. So the Tmei Mes, we said, only needs to stay out of Machne Shchina, out of the Azara. The Zov goes beyond him and is not allowed to be in Machne Leviya, in the Harabayas either. Then continues Reb Shimon, V'yoma Zov v'al yoma Metzora. Next, the Pasuk could have only mentioned then the Zov. It didn't also have to mention the Metzora. V'ani yoma Zov and Meshtauchen Metzoroin Lekoshekin. And again, we make a Kavachomer, if even the Zov has to be sent out, then the Metzora, who, as we're going to discuss soon, is more stringent than the Zov, for sure he has to be sent out. Lama nema Metzora. So why does it say the Metzora? Litten lo machne shlishis. So it teaches us that there's a third machna that he has to stay out of. Namely, he has to stay out of the machne Yisrael, the whole city of Yerushalayim, and any other walled city. And then when it and then Reb Shimon finishes off. Kshu omer bodad yeshiv. Now when the pasuk then says bodad yeshiv, that the Metzora has to live alone. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, we needed that in order to know that the Metzora has to stay out of all three machnas. Without that, Rabbi Yehuda says we wouldn't have even known that concept. Because after all, he learns from the word machanehem, their machnos in the plural, and that could mean only two. So if you only had that, it would mean the tmei mes have one machna, and the zov and the Metzora have a different one. According to him, we need bodad yeshiv to teach us bechlal, that the Metzora has to be outside all three machnas. On the other hand, Reb Shimon is saying that when it says Bodot, he doesn't learn from that. He learns from the very fact that it lists all three of them, Tzorua, Zov, and Tomila Nefesh. So now, Kshu Omer Bodot Yeshiv. So now, when the Pasuk says Bodot Yeshiv and it's otherwise extra, means Hakosav Nitkoy La'asim, means the Torah is saying that the lav in the case of the Metzora is connected with an assay, and therefore he's not getting malchus for it. So you see, therefore, that you have Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, besides that they're arguing where we're learning from, that each of these three kinds of tmeim has their own mechitza, that they have to stay, that their own number of machnas, that they have to stay out of. We see also that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the word bodad yeshiv mechutz l'machna meishavai is needed legufay to tell us how many machnas a Metzora has to stay out of. Therefore, it's not a separate assay. Therefore, he's getting malchus for coming into the city just like any other tamei who comes where he's not supposed to. So that would be the braisa that we quoted against Rav Chisda, would be according to Rabbi Yehuda. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon would say we don't need bodad yeshiv mechutz l'machna meishavai to teach us the number of machnas. We already know that from the other pasuk called tzarua v'chol zav v'chol Nefesh. Therefore, Michutz Machna Meshavoy is an esse, and it's taking away the lav and putting him in the category of an esse. Therefore, no malchus. That would be what Rav Chisda is saying. So Rav Chisda is not contradicted by the Braisa, because in fact, Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Shimon themselves argue on that point. Okay. So now, in the course of this discussion, we took it for granted that a Zov is more stringent than a Tomei Mes, and then a Metzora is more stringent than a Zov. So now let's analyze that. So the Gemara says, my Chumra de Zov mit Tomei Mes. What is the Chumra that a Zov has over a Tomei Mes? You would say, as we said before, Shekein Truma Yotza Olam Megufay. Because with a Zov, and when we say a Zov over here, we mean not just a Zov, we mean the other ones that are in that category. Also a Zova, also a woman who gave birth, also a Nida. For this purpose, all four of them are in that same category. In fact, the Rambam in his halachas and in Yad HaChazaka puts the dinim of them all together. As far as Tumah V'Tahara, he puts them in a section called Hilchos V'Tamei Mishkav V'Moshav. All of these are people who make the bed or the couch or the seat or whatever that they sit on tamei as an avatumah. Anyway, so you're going to argue that what's the chumra of a zav over a tummy mess? Shekein tuma yotza ala megufay, because you would say the tuma comes out of his own body, as opposed to the tummy mess, who only he touched something he shouldn't. Adarabba, you could argue on the contrary. The tummy mess chumra, maybe the tummy mess is more stringent. Shekein ton hazar shlish yushvi. After all, he needs to be sprinkled with paradroma water on the third and seventh day. A zav doesn't require that. So maybe on the contrary, maybe we should say the Zav only has to be out of one machna and the Tumei Mes has to be out of two. The answer is no. Omakura Tomei Vichol Tomei. No, because the answer is the Pasuk doesn't just say Tomei Lanefesh. It says Vichol Tomei Lanefesh. Anyone who's Tomei by a dead body. And that means L'rabis Tmei Sheretz. That means it comes to include not only a person who is Tomei by touching a dead human body, but also a person who is Tomei by touching a dead Sheretz. V'zav chomer mitmei sheretz. Now, a zav is definitely more stringent than a Tomei Sheretz. A Tomei Sheretz doesn't have to be sprinkled with part of adrumal water either. And the different, and a Tmei Sheretz is only, again, it's a tumor that didn't come from his own body. It's he touched a dead sheretz. So a zav, where the trauma comes out of his own body, is obviously much more serious than that. So then we would say the chumra of the zav over the tumei sheretz is, we just said that the zav, the trauma comes out of his own body, the tumei sheretz, it doesn't. But we could argue, and in fact, Rashi says, when we say tumei sheretz over here, we don't only mean a sheretz, we mean any other kind of thing where a person is tumei because of touching something. For example, also a person touches the nevela of a dead animal, etc. The question is, adrab sheretz chomer shekein metame ba'oynes. You could argue, on the other hand, that tumas sheretz in a way is more severe than tumas zav, because a person can become tummy with a sheretz even ba'oynes, meaning it doesn't matter how the sheretz touched him or he touched the sheretz, even if, let's say, he's just standing there and a dead sheretz falls on him, he becomes tummy, as opposed to with a zav, what we say is we have to check a zav in order to make him tomei as a zav. We have to find out whether the zivus, whether the flow that came out of him that would make him tomei, whether it was triggered by any of several different factors. The Mishnah mentions in zavim seven different things that you have to check. For example, if he overate or overdrank, or he was sick, or he did a lot of physical exercise, et cetera. You have seven different things that if he did any of those things, and then afterwards he had a flow of zivus, then he's not tomei as a zav. So you see that there was a chumra of tumas sheretz over tumas zav. Tumas sheretz, it doesn't matter the circumstances. Tumas zav, it does. So then in that case, so you see that there's a chumra of tumas sheretz over tumas zav. So maybe you should argue that when the pasuk is saying v'chol zav, v'chol tamei lenefesh, fine, you're saying tamei lenefesh includes people who touch tshuratzim. But maybe what it means is the sheretz is more stringent than the zav. The tamei sheretz or tamei mes has to stay out of two machnas. The zav only has to stay out of one. What makes you say it's the other way around? Amri, so they answered, as a matter of fact, you do have a case where the zav becomes tomei with a tumor that comes out of his body, even ba'oynis. What would that be? Kid Rav Huna. Namely, that would be like what Rav Huna says, the Amar Rav Huna, Re'i Rishonishol Zav, Metame Ba'onis. Rav Huna tells us like this. Now you have, in order for a person to be a Zav, he has to have seen this emission at least twice. The Zivus we've talked about before, by the way, the Gemara mentions in a few places, it actually mentions it on the Pasuk, is different than regular, it comes out of the same place in the body as Shechvas Zera does, but it's a bit different. Shechvas Zera is white, and it has a thick consistency to it. Ziva has a thinner consistency and it's kind of off-white. The Gemara in some places compares it to, it's like the white of a spoiled egg, unlike Shechvas Zera, which is like the white of a fresh egg. The Rambam also describes the difference as Shechvas Zera comes, the person is aroused and has an erection, and then Shechvas Zera comes out. Ziva is more like it dribbles out on its own. Whatever the case, the point is, in order for a person to be a Zav and have all of the dinim of a Zav, it needs to be that he had this happen at least twice. If he has it happen twice, then he becomes a full-fledged Zav. And if it happens three times, then not only he's a full-fledged Zav, but also he has to bring a korban. So now the Rav Huna tells us, the Amar Rav Huna, Re'iya Rishona Shel Zav Matama Ba'Oinus, the first Re'iya does not yet make him a Zav. The first Re'iya has the din of Shichvas Serah, even though in consistency it's different, even though in consistency and in how it comes out, it's different than Shichvas Serah. It has the same din. And the pasuk makes a hekesh between it and shichvas zera. So therefore, it doesn't make him tomei as a zav, only as a balkeri. A balkeri is much more lenient than a zav. A balkeri isn't metame the seat or the bed that he sits or lies on. He only has to go to the mikveh. He only has to go to the mikveh and wait for head of shemesh. Whereas a zav has to count 7 clean days. And that itself, the fact that we're comparing the one-time Zav to the Baal Keri, also teaches us that just like with Keri, it doesn't matter what the triggering factor was. As long as Keri came out, he's Tomei regardless. The same thing with the Zav. The first time, once it comes out, then he's Tomei regardless, even if it was Ba'onis. Only when it comes the second time do we have to check whether it was Ba'onis or not. And then we say he's not Tomei as a Zav if it comes out Ba'onis. So when you're talking about the original tumma of the zav, where he's tumme with a tumma that comes out of his own body to the degree of tumma of somebody who's a balkeri, of somebody who shichvasera came out of him, then in fact it doesn't matter the circumstances, he is tumme even ba'onis. Therefore, we can definitively say that that is more lenient than a sheretz, because fine, in both cases he's only tumme tumas erev, and he's not matame anything else that he touches. He's not matame as an avatuma anything else that he touches or lies on or whatever. But the difference is that a zav, the first time zav, the tumma came out of his own body, and the sheretz it didn't. So therefore, yes, you can say that since the pasuk mentions v'chol zav v'chol tomei lanefesh, then you can say it means any kind of zav, even a one-time zav who's like a balkeri, and v'chol tomei lanefesh means any kind of person who's tomei from something that he touched, meaning even tumas sheretz. And then we say now we can definitely make a kal v'chomer and say that a zav is definitely more stringent, that of even a first-time zav is definitely more stringent than somebody who touched a sheretz. Because with the one-time zav, the tumah came out of his own body, and therefore, if the pasuk is implying that the tumah sheretz and the zav need to be sent out of the machne, and implying that they have different numbers of machnas, then the kal v'chomer will tell us that the zav has to be sent out of more machnas than the tumah sheretz. So therefore, the tumah sheretz only has to stay out of the azara, out of machne shchina, whereas the zav has to stay out of machne leviyah as well. Then the Gemara continues. Okay, my chumre de mitzora mizav. Okay, now we also said before that the mitzora is more stringent than the zav, and therefore we said the zav only needs to stay out of 2 machnas, and the mitzora has to stay out of 3. So in what way is a mitzora more stringent than a zav? So the reason would be because there's a few things that apply to a mitzora that don't apply to a zav. Shekain ton priya or prima. The mitzora, unlike the zav, has to let his hair grow long. He can't cut his hair as long as he's a mitzora. Or prima, he has to tear his clothes. But also b'tashmish amita, and he's also to have relations with his wife. Now Rashi points out like this: there's a machloikus in the Gemara in Moed Katan. Whether a mitzvah, now you have with a mitzvah, he goes through different stages of his tumah. You have a stage where you have the stage when he's confirmed as a mitzvah and has to be sent outside all the machnas, etc. That's called yemei chaluta, the time when he's definitively a mitzvah. Then you have eventually the tzaras heals and they do the procedure with the 2 birds and the water, etc., that's described at the beginning of Parshas Mitzvah. After that, he shaves and then begins yemei sfiroi, the 7 days that he counts, where then at the end of those 7 days he shaves again, and then the next day he brings his korbanos. Now Rashi points out there's machlokes in Moed Katan during the time that he's mukhlat. We're saying he has to be outside of all 3 machnas, but is he allowed to have relations with his wife during that time? The Gemara has a machlokes. Everybody agrees that during the Yemei Sfira, that during those 7 days that he's counting before he can shave and bring his korbanos, that definitely he's also b'tashmish amita. So our Gemara is not really taking a stand on that, Rashi says. Either way, whether you say that the mitzora throughout all the time of chaluta and sfira is not allowed to have relations, or whether you say that only during the Yemei Sfira is he not allowed to, Either way, that's a chumra of a metzora over a zav. A zav never becomes also in tashmish, not during the time when he is, in fact, when he is still experiencing zivus, not afterwards during the time when he's counting his seven clean days before he can go to the mikveh. So therefore, that's another chumra that you have. So you have three chumras in a metzora over a zav. A metzora, again, has to let his hair grow long, has to tear his clothes, and at some point during the process of being a metzora, he's also betashmish amita, as opposed to a zav. The question with that is, adrab a zav chomer, shouldn't we argue the other way around, that a zav has a certain stringency over a mitzvah, shekein metamim mishkav moshav, because after all, a zav makes the bed or the seat or whatever that he sits on, makes them an avatuma, unlike a mitzvah, or metame klei cheres behesit, and he's metame klei cheres only by moving them, meaning most tmeim, if a person moves them, if a person touches or moves them, then they're going to become tamei. But by a zav, you have a unique thing. Rashi brings over here from Toras Koinim, from Sifra, how we learn this from a pasuk, but we learn that if a zav moves a kli cheres, even he's not even touching it, he's moving it from a distance, let's say with a stick or something, and he's only touching the outside of it, then he moves it, then he causes it to become tamei. So the Mishnah and Zavim gives us examples. Let's say, for example, you have a zav and a keli on a seesaw. So let's say, for example, the kelim are heavier than the zav. Or let's say the zav is heavier than the kelim, so he goes down on his side of the seesaw, so he causes the kelim on the other side to lift up. They become tamei, even though he never touched them. You have that only by a zav. You don't have that by a metzora. Now, Rashi mentions over here, brings also from Toras Koinim, that a metzora does make his mishkav and moshav tamei. So how does that fit with our Gemara over here that says that he doesn't? So Rashi explains it means that he makes them only, it means he makes them only a rishon, the truma, as opposed to a zav's bed would be an avatoma. There is a different shitta Tosfos brings over here from Rav Moshe Mipontoiza, which is a Pontoise is a city in France. Also, the Rambam holds like this, that in fact, a Metzora's bed is in fact an avatuma, just like that of a Zav. So how would the Rambam explain our Gemara? So Agoris Hagro, in fact, says that the Rambam wouldn't be Gurdus over here, the distinction about Mishkav and Moshav. He would only have the Girsa over here that the Zav is Metame Klei Cheres by moving them, whereas the Metzora is not. Even the Rambam and Rav Moshe Mipontoiza agree that a Metzora is not Metame them that way. Another way of looking at it is, again, just like we said about Tashmish Amita, the Rambam and Rav Moshe might hold that the Metzora is Metame them only during Yimei Sfira, only during those 7 days that he's counting to become completely, to bring his Karbonus and become completely Tahor, maybe not during the time when he's an active Metzora. Okay. In fact, Rashi himself, elsewhere in Shas, learns differently and says that the Metzora does make his Mishkav and Moshe of Tame. Okay. Anyway, the point is, at any rate, a zav definitely has some chumrah over the metzora. At least this business about hesed, that if he moves a kli cheres, he makes it tamei, whereas a metzora does not make a kli cheres tamei unless he actually touches the inside of it. And possibly, depending on how you learn it, also this business about mishkav and moshav. Again, either that the zav always makes his mishkav and moshav an avatuma, whereas the metzora maybe only sometimes does that, or maybe he never does at all. Maybe he only makes it a rishon latuma. Anyway, so you could argue that a zav has a chumra over a metzora. So again, why are you taking it as a given that the metzora is more chumr and sending him out of more machnas than the zav? Maybe you should say the other way around based on this. The answer is, again, omakra zav v'chol zav. Again, the pasuk doesn't just say zav, it says v'chol zav, any zav, meaning that we're including anybody who is in the general category of a zav, l'rabbis balkeri. So therefore, it comes to include a balkeri, a metzora, chomim, a balkeri. A metzora is definitely more stringent than the balkeri, because a balkeri, for sure, is not, none of these things apply to him. He doesn't have to tear his clothes, he doesn't have to grow his hair long, he's not metame mishkov v'moshav, he's not also betashmish, etc. Which, by the way, now that would mean, if we're learning that way, it would mean that the Balkeri is actually out, is not even allowed in Machna Levia, which raises the question, Achronim asks, if the Meshech Chochma discusses this, so how were the Leviim able to live in Machna Levia and be able to have relations with their wives? So he says that actually maybe what it is that only Levim who are guarding the Mishkan are considered Machna Leviya, and the rest of them would live like a little further out, like in the space between Machna Leviya and the rest of the Jewish people would be where the rest of the Levim had their tents, and that's not considered actual Machna Leviya. That's more like Machna Yisrael, and therefore they're allowed to be there as Balei Keri. There are Mefoshim who learn that in fact the Gemara is just using this in the course of the argument, and that in fact a Baal Keri is allowed in Machna Leviya. So in that case, then that would answer the question. Okay. Anyway, the question is, so the Gemara continues, Umay Chumre. Okay, so what's the Chumre of a Metzora over a Baal Keri? Kidam Moran, and as you said, a Metzora has to tear his clothes and grow his hair long, etc., whereas a Baal Keri doesn't have any of those things. But again, you could argue, Adrav a Baal Keri Chomer Shekein Matami B'mashu. You could argue that on the contrary, that a Baal Keri has a Chumre over a Metzora, in that even a tiny amount of Keri, a tiny amount of Shechvat Zera is enough to make him Tomei, whereas a Metzora, you have a certain minimum size. It has to be the size of the spot of Tzaras has to be at least the size of a gris, of a kind of bean, which is it's defined as the area where 6x6 hairs can grow on the body. So that you have a Chumra Balkeri over Metzora. The answer is Savalak Reb Nosson. The answer is the Tana over here that we're discussing. This is all according to Reb Shimon, because Reb Yehuda had anyway learned it in a different way. He holds like Reb Nosson, the Tanin, Reb Nosson Omer Mishum Mishmo, Zov Tzorech Chachat Simas Pi Ha'ama. A Zov, in order to become Tomei, there is a minimum amount of Shechvat Zera, of Zivos rather, that he has to have in order to become Tomei. Only if there's enough of it that it will seal up the opening, the hole of his Ama, of his Eva. Now the Chachamim disagreed with him, but fine. Reb Nosson does hold that way, that there is a minimum amount of zivus. The itka shle balkeri lezov, and we know, as we said before, that there's a hekesh between the balkeri and the zov, because the pasuk says zois terdas hazov vasher teitzim menu shichvas zara. So that would mean the rule that applies to a zov, according to Reb Nosson, that there's a minimum amount of zivus for him to become tamei. That same rule would apply to a shteitzim menu shichvas zara, to a balkeri. There also has to be a minimum amount. So therefore, now there's no chumra of a Baal Keri over a Metzora. So now, if we understand it that way, so once we have that, then that's it. So now we have no chumra of a Baal Keri over a Metzora. Therefore, the kavachomer that we brought before will be a good kavachomer that the Metzora is definitely more stringent than the Baal Keri, and therefore that we're going to say that the Metzora has to be sent out of more machnas than the Baal Keri does. So now the question is, okay, so we explain why it needs to say kol zov, because we said it needs to include the balkeri. We said why it needs to say v'chol tomei l'nefesh, because we said it also includes the one who's tomei from a sheretz. V'chol tzarua l'amali. Now, why does it need to say kol tzarua? What other kind of mitzvah is it including? So the answer is you're right, it doesn't really. I need a kosov. Kolzov, kosov nami, kol tzarua. Once it has to say kolzov and kol tomil nefesh, so already it says kol by the mitzoda as well, even though it's not really necessary. So that shows us. So that shows us that our kavachom has worked. That in fact the mitzoda is more stringent than the zov and the balkeri, and those in turn are more stringent than the tomei mes and the tomei sheretz. So now v'Rabbi Yehuda. So now we have to ask how in the braisa that we had on Amud Aleph, where we had Rabbi Yehuda is learning that the zov and the mitzoda, that the zov and the tomei mes have different machnas. He learned from the word machanehem, and then that the mitzoda has a separate machna that he has to stay out of. He learned from mechutz la machna meshavai. And Rabbi Shimon says, I don't even need that. We can learn it from the very pasuk itself, where since it mentions all three of them, tzarua, zov, and tomei lenefesh, and as we said, we can learn each of them with a kavachomer. So therefore, why does the pasuk list them? It means that each one has a machna of his own. So for Rabbi Yehuda, shaper kamer Rabbi Shimon. What is Rabbi Yehuda going to say? Doesn't Rabbi Shimon have a good counter argument? So why does Rabbi Yehuda need mechutz la machna meshavai? The answer is ahumi boile, because Rabbi Yehuda would say the fact that the pasuk is listing the tzarua and the zov and the tomei lenefesh separately, that is needed l'chidatanya for what we learn in a braisa. Rabbi Eliezer Omer yochol dochku zovin umetzarei v'nichnos la'azora b'pesach abba b'tumah. Now like this, we said on Amud Aleph that even when the Pesach is brought b'tumah, we said That's only for people who are tummy from touching dead bodies or whatever, where they're tummy mess or tummy sheretz. We don't have a heter, we said, for zavim and mitzaroyim and so forth to go and bring that korban pesach or eat it. But Rabbi Eliezer says, suppose that they did push their way in when the Pesach is being brought b'tumah, and therefore you anyway have tummy people in the Azara. What if the Zavim and Mitzrayim pushed their way in the Nichnasu la'Azara b'Pesach haba b'tumah, and they came into the Azara during the time when a Pesach that's being brought b'tumah is brought? Yochu yu chayavin. You would think that they would be chayav kares, because after all, they're tmeim and they have no business being in the Azara. No, Talmud Loima. Therefore, we learn it from that pasuk. V'shalchu min amachne called tzarua v'chol zav v'chol tomei l'nafesh. They should send out of the machne every tzarua and every zav and every tomei l'nafesh. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says, when it lists the three of them, it's not necessarily for to teach us what Rabbi Shimon had said, that from there we learn each one has a different number of machnes. They have to stay out. But rather, what we learn from it is, similar to what we said Rish Lakish had learned before, b'shar sh'tmei mes m'shtalchin, only when the tmei mes have to be sent out of the azara, then Zavin and Mitzarayim Mishtalkin, then the Zavin and Mitzarayim also have to stay out. And if they come into the Azara, they're Chayiv Kodis. Ain't Tmei Mesim Mishtalkin, but at a time when the Pesach is being brought Betumah, and therefore that the Tmei Mesim are not being sent out, ain't Zavin and Mitzarayim Mishtalkin, then the Zavin and Mitzarayim don't have to stay out, meaning, in other words, they're not Mutul Lachatchila, because the fact is the Torah is telling us that only the Tzibur, that the Tzibur can bring the Pesach Betumah only when it's Tumas Mes. So the implication is they can't when there's Zavim and Mitzarayim. So the Isser for them to come in still applies, but at least the Isser, at least the Chiyuv Kares won't apply in that case. So that we learn from the fact that the Torah lists all three of them together. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, I hold like that. In fact, we find Rabbi Yehuda was a Talmud of Rabbi Eliezer, so it makes a lot of sense that he would hold according to Rabbi Eliezer's Darasha. So therefore, I can't learn from that the number of machnas that each one has to stay out, like you do, Rib Shimon. Therefore, necessarily, I need to say that we learn it from the word machanehem and from michutza machne meshalei. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Omar Mar, now we said before, Zav v'chol Zav l'rabbis Balkeri. We said that when the Pasuk says v'chol Zav, it comes to include a Balkeri, that he has to stay out of Machna Leviya. So the Gemara says, Mesayle l'Rabbi Yechanan. Well, that supports what Rabbi Yechanan is saying. The Omar Rabbi Yechanan told us two dinim, which on the face of it are not related. Number one, Mechilos lo niskadshu, tunnels that are under the Azara do not have the Kedusha of the Azara. We're going to discuss later on in the next perek that actually it depends where the entrance of the tunnel is. Just the fact that the tunnel is physically located under the Azara is not in and of itself reason to give it the Kedusha of the Azara, but if the opening of it is, if the entrance of the tunnel is in the Azara, then yes, it does actually have the status of the Azara. So the first din is that tunnels under the Azara do not have the Kedusha of the Azara. Number two, Balkeri Mishtaleh, Chutz L'Shtei Machnas. Number two, a Balkeri has to be sent out of both Machnas, Machna Shechina and Machna Leviya. So meaning he can't be anywhere in the Harabais. So we see that's the reason why he mentions these two dinim together, Rashi says, is because he learned them together from his Rebbe. So therefore having learned them together from his Rebbe, therefore he quotes them together, even though they're not really directly related. The point is, though, the second din, that a Balkeri has to be outside of both machnas, that's exactly what we said, and that's exactly what we inferred from the Braisa, that the word v'chol zav comes to include the Balkeri. There are mafarshim who explain that there is actually a connection between these two things. The Mishnah tells us in Masechta Tamid and in Midas that if a kohen who was on duty in the Bis Mikdash became tamei with keri, then he would go out by way of a tunnel that started in the Beis HaMoked and went underneath the Azara until he exits the Harabayis. So the point is, therefore, how is he, a Balkeri, allowed to be in that tunnel where it's under the Azara? So the reason is because the tunnels, unless they open into the Azara, don't have the Kedusha of the Azara. So therefore, the Balkeri has to be sent out of both Machnas, but he has to leave the Hanabayas by way of this tunnel that goes under the Azara. So there is actually a connection between the two dinim. Okay. The Gemara says, Mesvi, though, I have a contradiction. What do you mean that a Balkeri has to be outside of Machna Leviya, meaning the Hanabayas? we learn in a braisa, Baal Keri Kimbaga Sheretz. Somebody who had Shechvas Zera come out of him is like somebody who touched a Sheretz. Now, my lav l'machanoisam, on the face of it, that means as far as the number of machnas. Now, a Tomei Sheretz, we know, has to be sent out of only machnas Shechina. He's not allowed to be in the Azara. So doesn't that imply Baal Keri is the same thing? The answer is loy l'tumasam. No, the braisa is not comparing them as far as the number of machnas. It's comparing them as far as the degree of tuma. They're only tamei for one day. They're only tamei until they go to the mikveh and have a head of shemesh. They don't need 7 days like a zav would. I said, what do you mean l'tumasam? What do you need? What do you need? What does the braisa need to tell us? They have the same degree of tuma and the same amount of tuma. We know that. High tumas erev ksibe, high tumas erev ksibe. Both by the one who touched the sheretz and by the Baal Keri, by both of them, the pasuk says that they have to go to they're tummy until the evening, which means they have to go to the mikveh and they need head of shemesh. So obviously we know that the braisa doesn't need to tell us that. So it must be then if the braisa is comparing them, it must be to tell us as far as the number of machnas. So that would contradict what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. The answer is loy, not necessarily. Maybe after all, the braisa is comparing them as far as the degree and the length of time of their tumah. What the braisa wants to tell us is the Baal Keri Kamaga Sheretz. What is it saying that they're both the same? Means, as we said before, Ma Maga Sheretz Matama Ba'oinus. Now, if a person touches a sheretz, we said it doesn't matter the circumstances. Even if the sheretz just fell on top of him, he becomes tamei anyway. So af Baal Keri, mitama bonus, the same thing by a Baal Keri, even if, let's say, for example, now we said before by a Zov, we said by the second Ziva of a Zov, we said we have to find out, did he overeat, did he overdrink, did he have a hirhur, etc., etc. But by a Baal Keri, none of that matters, no matter what the circumstances were, Shechvas Zera came out of him, and therefore he's Tomei as a Baal Keri. So that's the comparison with the Maga Sheretz. Not necessarily to show that they have the same number of machnas. You could well say that they have. You could well say that the Tomei Sheretz only has to stay out of one machna, and the Baal Keri has to stay out of both. Okay, so the Gemara tries another one. Meisvi, we learn in a braisa, boil nida ketmei mes. Somebody who has relations with a nida. It's a continuation of the same braisa. Actually, it's a mishnah really. A boil nida is the same as a tomei mes. Now again, Lamai, as far as what is he similar? Ilema l'tum osam, do we mean as far as the length of the truma? No, it's not the same at all. High tumas shiva ksibe, the high tumas, oh, actually it is. It is the same. We know that again from the pasuk. Both of them, it says, high tumas shiva ksibe, the high tumas shiva ksibe. By the boil nidya, the pasuk says, the tome shivas yomim. By the person who touches the mess, also it says that he's tomei for 7 days. So we know, therefore, that they have the same length of tumah. Ela lav l'machanoisam. Obviously, there you have to say that it means as far as the number of machnos, that a tomei mess is that a tomei mess and a boil nida have to stay out of the same number of machnos. And will be the sefer l'machanoisim havi. So then, by elimination, if the sefer about the boil nida and the tmei mes is telling us that they have the same number of machnas that they have to stay out of reisha nami l'machanoisim, then you have to say the reisha where it compares the Baal Keri to the tmei sheretz also has to be talking about the number of machnas. So again, that would contradict Rabbi Yochanan, who said that the Baal Keri has to be sent out of only one, has to be sent out of two machnas. The Gemara says, "Midiyuya." What kind of a question is that? Hokidisa. Each one has different rules. In the ratio, we're comparing them as far as the fact that they're both matame ba'onus, without reference to the number of machnas. In the sefer, where we can't say that, because obviously a boil nida and a tmei mes are tame, regardless of the circumstances, then the comparison has to be as far as the number of machnas. So there's no contradiction necessarily from that. Okay, so the Gemara tries another one. Meisvi. Mitzora chomum izov. We learn in a braisa. A mitzora is more stringent than a zov. As we said before, a mitzora has to stay out of three machnas. A zov only out of two. The zov chomum mitmeimes, and a zov is more stringent than a tmeimes, because we said a zov is out of two machnas. A tmeimes only out of one. Yotza Baal Keri. This excludes a Baal Keri. Which, what do we mean? It excludes it. Shetmei mes chomer mimenu, where tmei mes is more chomer than him. Now, what do we mean by that? My yotza, what do we mean? The Baal Keri is excluded. Lav yotza miklal zov. Don't we mean that we're excluding him from the category of a zov, where otherwise we would have said the Baal Keri is like the zov because of the heckish we said before. So therefore, we would say, but for this particular purpose, he's excluded from the category of a zav, uvol lechlal tmei mes, and he's put instead in the category of the tmei mes, d'ha tmei mes chamemenu mutar machna leviyah. So therefore, that would mean that the tmei mes is more stringent than the baal keri. He's the tmei mes is allowed in machna leviyah, and the baal keri is not. So the tumah mess is mutter and machna leviya. So therefore the baal keri would be saying that even though a tumah mess is a stronger tumah than tumas keri, because after all tumas mess lasts for 7 days, tumas keri only lasts until he goes to the mikveh and has head of shemesh. Nevertheless, as far as machnos, the baal keri is more stringent, because after all we said before v'chol zav, and we have to include the baal keri somehow. So therefore, we would say the baal keri is more similar to the zav, and he has to stay out of two machnas. And the tamei mes, even though usually a tamei mes is more stringent than the baal keri, but for this purpose, the tamei mes is less stringent. He only needs to stay out of one machna, and the baal keri out of two. So then, in that case, again, that would contradict Rabbi Yochanan. The answer is loy. No, that's not what the braisa means. Yotzim a machna tamei mes v'nichnas the machna zav. What it means is that the baal keri is excluded from the same machna as a tamei mes, but it means we put him in the category of a machna zav. We put him in the category where he has to, where he's in, like Rabbi Yochanan says, where he has to stay out of the two machnas just like a zav. V'af agav the tamei mes chomei menu. Now, even though it is true that a tamei mes is more stringent than a baal keri, because after all he's tummy for 7 days, nevertheless there is a kula in the tummy mess that he's allowed in machna levia, whereas the baal keri isn't. Why lamai de dummy lemon daminim? Because each one we're going to compare to what they're most similar to. The baal keri, what category of tuma should we most compare a baal keri to? A zav. Therefore, if a zav is being kept out of two machnas, so is the baal keri. So this braisa, even though it's saying Yotza baal keri and the tamei mes is more chomer than him, we don't mean that the tamei mes is kept out of more machnas than the baal keri, which would contradict Rabbi Yochanan. Just the opposite. We're saying even though normally a tamei mes is more chomer than a baal keri, but for this purpose we're making a tamei mes less chomer than a baal keri and allowing him into machna levia, whereas the baal keri is not. So we haven't contradicted Rabbi Yochanan, and in fact that's how it is. The baal keri has to stay out of both machnas, including machna levia, so his baal keri is not allowed in the harabais. Nowadays, also, that means when we say that we're not allowed to go in the Hanabayas, primarily that means people like a baal keri or a zav or what have you are not allowed to. In principle, a person who is tohar of those things and only tamei mes would be allowed to go into the Hanabayas. Practically speaking, we don't, according to the vast majority of poskim, because it's hard to know, given that the whole Beis Mikdash was destroyed and there's next to nothing left of it. There's really not a way to tell when a person goes into the Hanabayas whether he might be going into the area that was the Azara, and therefore and that already he'd be Chayev Kares for. So therefore we stay off the whole Hanabayas. In theory, if we knew where on the Hanabayas the Azara was, then we would be allowed to go on the rest of the Hanabayas, and only at least on a Daraisa level, and only be also to go into the actual area where the Azara was. So we'll finish off this discussion about Machnas tomorrow, and then we'll get into some other topics, including quite a bit of Agadda.
Shkaya.
Shkaya. Baruch Tia.
Thank you very much, Baruch.